Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Bob Seidensticker is our guest, and he's the author of Future Hype, a brand spanking new book that we're basically launching on this show. It's coming out, I think, tomorrow, and he talks about the myths of technology change. And folks, you know, on this show, I've talked quite a bit about technology, and you know how much I appreciate it. You know how much I value it. You know how much I think that the future of your success in the 21st century as a small business owner, the great leveler of the playing field for you so you can compete on a lot of different levels is technology. And so that's the reason why I'm excited about getting Bob back on the show as we continue to celebrate Small Business Week in our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. Bob, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here. By the way, Bob, folks, Bob is an MIT graduate. He spent 25 years so far, I should say, in the technology industry, and a number of years with Microsoft. And Bob, you decided to leave Microsoft when the entrepreneurial sap started rising in your bark, didn't you?
Exactly right. I left Microsoft about 7 or 8 years ago, and actually that's an interesting technology story because I was excited to kind of give back a little bit. I wanted to write software for education applications, and what happened? Because the topic today is not my success in education. You can kind of anticipate where this went. But this was just a great example of my kind of getting a little overexcited, kind of buying into the future hype. Let me just give you an example. In 1998, Mattel bought the company, The Learning Company. It was just an amazing company that made Carmen Sandiego, Reed Rabbit, I think, was one of theirs also.
Right.
They bought them for $4 billion in 98.
Wow.
3 years later, resold them for 1% of that price.
Wow.
So the education software market, you know, it was going to be our future, and yet it just sort of collapsed. And
well, I remember when Steve Jobs left Apple, that's the direction he was going to go in.
Yes, and Steve Wozniak, very very focused on education also. Apple made a lot of headway in education in selling computers to schools, and yet
right.
I think we could certainly scratch our head and ask, you know, where did that money go?
What happened? What was his venture? Next? Wasn't that the thing that he was, the job
well,
he was going to do?
Next was a pretty impressive kind of a high-end company. But
right.
Apple really has a long, impressive history in selling to schools. You know, one small statistic on schools, in the last decade, public schools in the U.S. have spent $70 billion on high tech. And, of course, that means that $70 billion not spent on simple things like teacher salaries, student-teacher ratios, the buildings
right.
themselves, lab supply, you know, on and on. And I just love the idea of technology being used, especially in something like education, third world improvement, things like that. And yet, I think the track record is very poor.
Well, and you talk a little bit about that. That's getting us into the topic of your book. I want to read a passage from your book, Future Hype, Bob, and here it is, folks. Bob says, "We overestimate the importance of new and exciting inventions, and we underestimate those we've grown up with." Now explain yourself, Bob.
Well, there's a number of technology myths that I cover in the book, and this is touching on the one that I think of as technology is changing faster and faster, that it's exponential. Now, of course, technology change exists, but this has been true for centuries. One example that's kind of close to my heart, coming from Seattle, is airplanes. And
right.
we saw explosive growth in the early 1900s from biplanes made of canvas and wood through jet airplanes, and it seemed obvious that supersonic planes were going to continue that progress. And yet the Concorde supersonic passenger plane limped along for 25 years before
right.
finally being put out of service. And today we fly at about the same speed as we did at the dawn of the jet age 50
right.
years ago.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things that I say when I speak to groups around the country, Bob, is I say that there's really nothing new under the sun. Change has been with us all, and the example I give is that a computer is really just a fancy wheel. But I do believe, and I'd like your thoughts on this, and we may disagree just a little bit on this, I'm not sure. I do say that what's taking everyone's breath away has not been change, but the velocity of change. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I think I would disagree. My feeling is that change exists, of course, but we've had change, you know, for the past 200 years since the Industrial Revolution. The railroad, the Donner Party with the Oregon Trail. You're all familiar with that story of people who mm-hmm. almost made it and just, you know, terrible tragedies. The six-month journey on the Oregon Trail was turned into 6 days by the Transcontinental Railroad. Now, that was a big change. Or
right.
Here's another one. The Battle of New Orleans, this is the last battle of the War of 1812. The Americans handed the British their worst defeat in 300 years. And the irony of the battle is that the war was over. The war had been over for 2 weeks, and yet no one knew. Because the information was traveling by ship. And yet you turn the clock forward 30 years, you've got the telegraph. Information isn't cargo, it's now data traveling
right.
at near the speed of light. And by 1860, 100,000 miles of telegraph line worldwide. By 1870, you will read in your paper in any major city in the U.S., information from around the world from the previous day, just like today. Now, that was a change, the telegraph.
So you're saying that, well, you know, the only thing about it, though, Bob, is the application of technology is really, I mean, can you really look back on the last 10 years and believe that there really hasn't been that much there's not that much different than it was 10 years ago?
Well, not really. I'm definitely not dismissing the change. I mean, there's things that delight us, things that frustrate us, and this is the leading edge of technology change. So it certainly exists, but I think if you look at the entire landscape of technology, we're, as always, getting, again, ultimately excited and frustrated by the leading edge. And right mm-hmm. now that's PCs and the Internet, maybe cell phones. But things like, you know, fundamental things like energy, electricity, that sort of thing, railroads, airplanes, other kinds of transportation, civil engineering, skyscrapers, dams,
so you think that we should be a little less enamored with the leading edge stuff and a little more enamored with the foundational stuff?
You're right, exactly right. And I see that we have I think it's sort of a natural human tendency, a myopia. That is, we see things near to us, and those are in focus, and we really understand those well. Things that are far away in time, in this case, we just don't worry about
them. What advantage does that give us to, if we have that kind of thinking, Bob? What's the advantage to us, to my small business audience?
Well, I'll tell you what,
I'm going to ask you to hold on to that thought.
Sure.
We got to take a quick break, because one thing that hasn't changed, Bob, in decades is we still have to sell stuff to pay the bills around here. 20 after, we'll be right back with Bob Stephensticker. It's almost as tongue-twisting as Blasting Game. He and I will be right back. His book is called Future Hype.
One more thing.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., celebrating Small Business Week here with the SBA, whooping it up on behalf of my heroes, small business owners. And I know that Bob Stephensticker is a guy who cares about small business, because I bet he would like for a lot of small business owners to buy his book, Future Hype. Right, Bob?
You're exactly right. It's been available for... been available for a couple of weeks on online, and it should be available, if not now, then tomorrow, certainly in all the major stores, bookstores.
Well, folks, I hope you do check it out. It's a very good book. It's very interesting. I think it'll sober you up on a few things. There might even be some things in there that disagree with the things that I tell you on the show, and so you can take those with and we can debate about that, I guess. Bob, as we went to the break, I was asking you about what small business owners, I think what I asked you was, what small business owners should take away from your perspective, and how can we stay competitive with by thinking, valuing the old technologies more and maybe the leading edge less? What does that do for our competitive advantage?
One reaction I've gotten is that I tend to call technology sort of cast a much broader net than many people would think about. So the way I like to think about that is the challenge I like to give is abandon all technology and live in the woods for a week and see if it's your laptop you miss the most. And you know, here again, I think you really get a new appreciation for, you know, the fundamental things that we live with. But this gets also to the real bottom line. I mean, why should this be important? You know, what if we're duped by some of these myths? Is that more than just a minor nuisance? And the answer is no. It's because of the hidden costs of technology. And I think that's the real issue here. I can give you an example.
Sure.
You might imagine buying a laptop, and you think you're buying a computer, and yet you're really buying computerization. And what I mean by that is, say that laptop costs $1,000, and you upgrade every 2 years. That's $500 per year, and so far not so bad, except that the total cost, surveys show, is more like $5,000 per year. And that's because of these hidden costs, things like maintenance, software upgrades, training time, downtime, and the real big one is support when the user has to figure out the computer problems himself.
Don't forget security.
Exactly right.
You make it sound, Bob, if I took what you just said on face value, it would make people say, wow, I don't think I want to buy a laptop now. That's not what you're saying, is it?
It's not. I think in the case of the PC, I mean, PC is just part of reality. The challenge, I think, that business owners have is that the computers used to be a way to get ahead. It used to be a competitive advantage. You remember, you know, 15 years ago when we're going to computerize the company was sort of a phrase that made sense. And of course, nowadays, you know, it's just sort of assumed. You know, I mean, we assume you have electricity, we assume you have plumbing, and we assume you have computers. It's just what one has to spend to participate in the economy today. And as a result, we just pay what it costs. And I think we would do ourselves a service if we would sort of pause and say, okay, let me just analyze these costs and make sure they're making sense for me.
Well, the only thing, you know, Bob, the part that I'm having a little trouble with on your message is that I love my laptop, and I think what I paid for my laptop and the constant support and expense that I have to keep it maintained, to keep it in good order, I think it's a good value, because with my technology, not just my laptop, but with the technology that we use in our business, we do work today in our company with probably a tenth of the people that it would have taken if I could even have done some of these things 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's nothing bad about that, is there? That, to me, that's the ROI.
Exactly right, and you may be one of the examples where technology really has given a serious benefit. You probably heard of the productivity paradox. This is a concept of probably 20 years ago, and the idea was we see computers everywhere except in the productivity statistics. Now,
right.
the example you raise, I mean, if what you say is the case, then absolutely that's a shining example of where computers really have made a big benefit.
But see, I don't think I'm that odd. I mean, I know I'm an odd duck, but I don't think in terms of the technology discussion we're having, I don't think I'm that different. One of the things that I think, where I absolutely agree with you, Bob, is in terms of touching our customers. And one of the things I tell my audience is, never let your customers touch your technology unless there's something in it for them.
That's a good point. Sure. You know, if I could just hit again this issue,
sure,
of PCs, the speed growth is what we really focus on. You know, every couple of years the power doubles, and again you have examples like yours where you really have some serious benefits. But let's just sort of look at the PC and get beyond the hype, get beyond the excitement over just
right.
The statistics.
I got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
What does a PC do today that it didn't do fundamentally 10 years ago? Well, here's another example. A PC that's 100 times faster doesn't make you 100 times more productive. It doesn't even make you twice as productive.
I don't disagree with that at all. No, I agree with you. Bob, I've enjoyed our visit today. I've enjoyed sort of debating this with you. I think we've had a little bit of a debate and we've agreed on some things. But I'd like to do this again. Would you come back and let's talk about this some more?
I would love to, Jim.
I like the direction you're going with, even though I don't agree with everything you're saying. I think that makes for a good conversation. We'll get you back again real soon. The book is called Future Hype, The author is Bob Seidensticker, and it's The Myths of Technology Change, and it's available wherever books are sold. Thanks, Bob, for being here. I'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jim.
Quick break. Right back with Karen Kerrigan after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.